This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The Antichrist. Some have said it's a religious leader, an end-time dictator, a tyrant known as the Beast that will lead a resurrected, socialistic, holy Roman Empire in the last days. But is that all it is? Or is there something more sinister? Something more heinous? Does the Bible have any indication that Antichrist is bigger than just one man? Are the Apostle John's epistles implicit of a much more subtle element working among human beings throughout the world today which drives so many to be against Jesus Christ? Friends, you need to stay with us as we explore this very significant distinction on today's program. It will enhance your understanding of the Antichrist.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. I'm excited about your presence here. You have a choice in what you view, and we're always thrilled that you tune to the Armor of God. There is an issue in the Scriptures that probably many of you have heard about. Perhaps you've even wondered as to what it all means. There are actually only four scriptures on the subject, and they're all in the letters that the Apostle John writes, called the General Epistles. And I want to explore with you what he was talking about when he introduced the subject of the Antichrist. Now, I know how many people pronounce it, Antichrist. But anti, A-N-T-E, Antichrist, means before Christ or in place of Christ, if you will. But anti, as the Scriptures describe it, A-N-T-I, is against Christ. If you are anti-something, you are against the Messiah. You are against the Anointed One. The Scriptures describe this situation, these ideas. But first, let's do some speculation. How many of you have heard that the Antichrist was a government on the earth? You realize that at one time they said the British Empire was the Antichrist? Some even have suggested that perhaps the government of Germany under Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. Even Stalin, Joseph Stalin, and Russia might have had some aspect of the Antichrist. And as late as the 21st century, there was much speculation about a man called Saddam Hussein being the Antichrist. And in addition to that, there have been some who have suggested that the vaunted United States of America might just have a little modicum of Antichrist in it. Now, which is true? Is the Antichrist an individual? Is it a nation? Is it an attitude? Is it a situation, a person, place, or thing? What is it? Well, let's learn from the Scriptures today exactly what we're dealing with, because sometimes the Scriptures concerning the Antichrist are interpreted or extrapolated over to other Scriptures, like the man of sin in 1 Thessalonians. I believe it's 2 Thessalonians. We're going to look at that Scripture as well, and even some Scriptures in the book of Revelation. So before we're finished today, I hope that you'll have a better insight into what the Antichrist is, so that you're not falling victim to the attitude, because that's what you will discover as we go through these Scriptures, that it is an attitude. It is not an individual, and I believe I can prove that from the Scriptures as we go through today. But first, let me interrupt myself to tell you about what we are going to offer in today's program. First of all, the booklet is entitled, Who Rides the White Horse? In the book of Revelation, there are two individuals or two situations, two scenarios of the rider of the white horse. There's the one of the rider of the white horse being associated with false Christs. And then there's the true Christ, the true anointed one, also riding a white horse. Now, who rides it and how do you apply it? Is it the false Christ one or is it the true Christ one? That is something that you should know, because associated with this issue of the Antichrist is this whole notion of false teaching and false Christ, false anointed ones. There are many people who proclaim that they are anointed to preach the gospel, and in so doing, confuse many. But we'll get into that at another program. Also, offered in tape form or CD form is the tape sermon by Van Stinson entitled The Antichrist. He goes extensively through these scriptures and will go through more material than I can cover in today's program. So be sure to get the sermon tape by Van Stinson entitled The Antichrist and the booklet Who Rides the White Horse. And you can receive that material absolutely free when you dial toll-free 1-888-578-8791. You can visit our website at www.cgi.org or write to us at Church of God International, Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas, 75710. And we hope to hear from you. We have operators standing by to serve you and to receive your calls. On to the subject of the Antichrist. There are only four scriptures in all of the Bible that use the word Antichrist. So let's take a look at each one of them in its context to see what we can ascertain. First of all, John writes in 1 John 2 and verse 18 the following statement. He says, little children. Now, I find it amazing that the Apostle John could be so affectionate. Is this the same John whose brother was James? When they came to that village, remember that early on in Christ's ministry, they came to a village. The people had rejected the Messiah and his cadre of individuals following along with him. And you know what James and John suggested? Lord, should we call down fire out of heaven and burn them all up? That was John's attitude before he became converted. So it's amazing that he's so affectionately calling the followers and believers little children, kind of an affectionate. He must have been one of those disciples, you know, back in the day when little children would come to Christ and they would want to shoo, the disciples would want to shoo them away. Don't bother the master. Leave him alone. And that's when he made the profound statement, suffer little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So this John, who lived longer than any of the other apostles, who had a, shall we say, an aggregation of thoughts in his mind and observations that he could make through a longevity, a long life of living and observing and waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. He lived on into the 90s A.D. So that was at least 60 years after the Messiah was crucified. And he had a lot to say and a lot to share with us. Here's what he said. This is 1 John 2 and verse 18. It is the last time. There's a wonderful word called eschatology, or some pronounce it with this notion of eschatological. I avoid that pronunciation because it sounds like another pronunciation, another sense that doesn't have the S on the part of it. So I generally try to use a different pronunciation for it. But eschatology is about the last things. And so John was associated with the last things, especially with the book of Revelation. Here he says, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Who said that? Who said that Antichrist shall come? Well, Jesus did. In fact, in Matthew 24, you recall the occasion as they sat on the Mount of Olives and had visited the temple, and they had come to him, the disciples had come and asked him, you know, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world, the King James language has it, but the word eon in Greek means end of the age, end of the age. And he responded by saying, well, there are a number of things that are going to happen. And the first thing he mentions is that there would be false Christs. There would be individuals who would teach and preach in the name of Jesus Christ, proclaiming him to be the Messiah, and would deceive many. Now, how do you reckon that? How is it possible for individuals to preach and teach Jesus Christ and yet deceive people? That's a question you need to ask yourself and consider and contemplate, because have you been deceived? Is it possible for you to be deceived on the issues of theology and religion and so forth? But put that aside for a moment. Jesus did say that Antichrist, or individuals who would be opposed to him and yet will use his name, use his persona, use his aura to gain a following after himself. You wouldn't think, would you, that there would be individuals who are good actors, who learn how to say all the right things, who can stand up before auditoriums and stadiums of thousands of people and deceive folk? Would you think that's possible? Well, it's worth thinking about, because you don't want to be in that number. You need to be inoculated against the issues of the Antichrist. So Jesus did say, these Antichrists shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, says John, whereby we know that this is the last time. Now, when John wrote that, I'm going to guess maybe around the early 90s A.D., maybe a little earlier, maybe in the late 80s, he had no clue, no idea of how bad it was going to get. Here in the 21st century, do you realize how we are inundated with religious teaching and philosophers and preachers of every ilk and description under the face of the sun? And as a result of it, many people are confused and in wonderment and disturbed, because they can't really get a grip on what is going on in the world, theologically speaking, and they don't know where to turn. They try to read the Bible, especially the old archaic King James language, and they get hung up in the begets. I mean, it's hard to get beyond the begets when you're reading the Bible, and so-and-so begat this one. And by the time you get through the begets, your eyes have glazed over and you just close the book up and say, well, I'll try it another day. Even with modern translations, it can be difficult. And as a result, there are individuals who make prey of and feast upon and profit from individuals who are ignorant or lacking knowledge concerning the Scriptures. And in so doing, they are part of the Antichrist movement. Verse 19 says, they went out from us, this Antichrist attitude, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Who is us? Well, the Apostle John had a reflection back on the 12 apostles and the 120 who were present on the day of Pentecost, and the 3,000 that were added on the day of Pentecost to be baptized, and the burgeoning New Testament church that grew out of the preaching of the gospel with Jesus Christ as the centerpiece of that gospel. But there were individuals like a Simon mentioned in Acts 8, for instance, who saw an opportunistic moment for himself to ingratiate himself to Peter and the other apostles when he saw their power to heal. And he attributed it to a magic potion, a kind of hocus-pocus notion, because he had been doing some, clandestine, underhanded, double-dealing, backstabbing kind of things. And as a result, he wanted to gain that power. He says, you know, can I purchase this power? I want to be in this number with you guys, because it is a money-making adventure. You don't think that money would be an attraction for people to take religious opportunity, would you? The Bible just says that there are individuals like that. I think Paul wrote it this way. He says, if people are desirous of filthy lucre, that's a nice term for money, if that's what they're motivated by, you need to check them out to see what their motivation is. Is it the gospel, or is it the gospel of money? Because the love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. And that fuels the Antichrist notion in people's minds. He goes on to say that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. It is our individual responsibility to assess whether or not a person is true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our call. You cannot take the attitude about, well, you know, he deceived me, she deceived me, she misled me. That's your responsibility to make that determination. That's why we say on the Armor of God program, blow the dust off of your Bible, open it for yourself, read it, and ascertain for yourself what the truth of the matter is. Don't believe us because we sit here in a suit, in a set someplace, and tell you, here's what the Bible says. If you don't open the Bible for yourself, if you don't prove it for yourself, you are subject to deception. Now, he goes on to talk about this issue of the Antichrist in verse 22. Here's what he says. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is the anointed one. Now, you're probably saying, what religious person, what Christian would deny that Jesus is the anointed one? Well, you haven't been to the seminaries lately, have you? You haven't been to those places where they allegedly teach about God and the Bible and Jesus, and many of them question his miracles. They question his resurrection. They question the virgin birth. They question everything about Jesus. In other words, they are Antichrist, and they are the ones who feed us all of these theologians who fill pulpits all over the world. Unless the individual themselves determine the truth of the matter and fight against that phony baloney. Well, I could say a number of things about it, but all of that subterfuge, all of that clandestine activity that goes on in the name of theology and intellectualism. So he says, and describing it, John describes it, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. Now, one might say, is this an individual or is this an attitude that individuals might be consistently applying this attitude, and they are not just one person, but a series of people in a lot of different places. I won't embarrass any of the places of higher learning, but you all know the places that produce many of the ministers. Sometimes they are associated with the denominations. Sometimes they are associated just with a school of thought, perhaps conservative, perhaps liberal. But in these bastions of intellectualism, we produce people who are anti-Christ. But it goes on to say, he is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Oh, there are individuals who even question the existence of God who have reverend doctors in front of their names. And they have influence over a whole new generation of people who cause themselves to question the existence of Christ himself. So that's going on in the world. And you can see right away that this is an attitude, not an individual. You cannot say, well, you know, the Antichrist is coming, and his name is, her name is, or it's that nation, or this. No. You have to determine an attitude. And John is describing for us just who that is. He says in verse 23, whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. You've got to take both. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. That's how important it is for you to know. If you have questions about the existence of the Son, for instance, did he do those miracles for real? You know, feeding 5,000 on one occasion, 4,000 on the other, healed lepers, raised Tabitha from the dead, raised Lazarus from the dead. Did he actually do all of that? Did he actually walk out of that tomb and assume the spiritual rank that he had with the Father from the beginning? Did he really found the New Testament church and ordained his 12 apostles and gave his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Did that actually happen? Or is that just pie in the sky by and by when you die? Are those just smoke dreams, pipe dreams, if you will? you need to determine whether or not it is true, because it is the truth of the matter that is predicated on your eternal life. Now, in addition to those, the scriptures, those two scriptures I just read, look at what is written in 1 John 4 and verse 3. This is the third scripture of the four that John writes. He says, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist." Wait a minute, let me pause, let me hold up. I read by that too quickly. "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God." Come in the flesh. Does that mean that Jesus didn't exist? Oh, there are people who teach that. But there's a more subtle notion about it, and you have to go to the Greek and the proper tense of what's going on here. The present progressive, or the aorist tense of this verse suggests, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is coming," present progressive, "is coming in flesh, is not of God." Is coming in flesh. Now, that puts a whole nother spin on it, doesn't it? Because you need to consider that the purpose for Jesus coming to the earth was not only to reveal the Father, not only to die for our sins, not only to be resurrected to his rightful place as ruler of the entire world, but also to indwell flesh. And those who deny that we cannot be transformed, that we cannot be changed, that we cannot repent, that we cannot be converted, because flesh is flesh and it's always going to be flesh. You know what people say, don't you? "Well, I just can't help myself. I just have this attitude, and I just lose my temper, and that's just the way I am." That's denying that Christ is coming in flesh to transform it. Paul writes to the church at Rome by saying, "Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of Almighty God." That's what we're supposed to do. We are to be transformed. We are to be changed. We are to be different. And as a result of learning what those differences are in Christ, we then take on and accept his reality in ourselves through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we will not be in the ranks of the Antichrist crowd that says, "Hey, you know, life is what it is. You know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Don't worry about it. Everything is going to come out bad in the end anyhow." No, you can't take that approach. That is an Antichrist attitude. Look at what he goes on to say. "And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you," who is in you? Christ, through his spirit. See, that was the promise that we were given in John, the 14th chapter, 15th chapter, and 16th chapter, concerning the Parakletos. That is, the Holy Spirit being promised and being given to us. And as a result of that comforter indwelling us, we take on the mind, the attitude, and the approach of our Savior, the Messiah. And that's how we become inoculated against the spirit of Antichrist. Because the Bible goes on to tell us that it's important for us to know what that spirit is. Now, quickly, in 2 Thessalonians 2, in verses 1 through 4, this is where Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica concerning the man of sin. And I believe we should go out in today's program taking a look at this verse. Here's what it says. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together with him, unto him, that you be not shaken in mind, and to be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, neither by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," the coming of Christ, the second coming, "shall not come except there come a falling away first." And there are individuals falling away from Christ all the time, called the apostasy. "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, many people would like to teach that that man of sin is a person. I suggest to you, as we conclude today's program, that it's an attitude. And you could have and be bitten by the attitude of Antichrist because you can oppose and exalt yourself, your knowledge, your individuality above God and sit in his throne room, if you will. My friends, inoculate yourself by making the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 to receive the free material today to learn more about the spirit of Antichrist so that you will not be bitten by that bug. See you next time here on the Armor of God.
Antichrist. You know, Bronson James really showed us today, didn't he, right from your Bible, that this particular word is indicative of an attitude. Oh, yeah, that's right, my friends. Many of us don't realize it or not. But the fact is that the Antichrist has a much broader, more comprehensive meaning than most of us realize and give it credit for. Many of us identify it strictly and exclusively to an end-time dictator, an end-time system. But as Mr. James showed through the Apostle John's writings there in the Epistles of John, that the Antichrist is indeed an attitude. And as the Apostle John portrayed, was an attitude of individuals that in some cases they themselves didn't even realize they were Antichrist. Christ. The book of Matthew in chapter 7, this individual writes in chapter 7 and in verse 22 a very interesting statement and is quoting the very words of Jesus Christ. Right here, look at this, my friends. In verse 22 of chapter 7, the book of Matthew, we read, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and in your name have cast out devils and in your name done many wonderful works?" Jesus' response to that is, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness." That's what that Greek word essentially means, is lawlessness. My friends, Jesus is explicitly telling us here it is possible to be thinking that you're doing him a service when indeed you're not. My friends, you have to keep in mind, no question about it, that this Antichrist concept is indeed an attitude, as well as, and that doesn't preclude the fact, that it will be a part of the attitude of that end-time dictatorial leader that will be part of an end-time system. But that's why you need to write in right now for the free offer that we have. Don't forget, dial right now, 888-578-8791. Ask for the free literature offer that we're offering, Who Rides the White Horse, along with the tape called Antichrist by Vance Stinson, one of the commentators, right here on the Armor of God. Dial now. We've got operators standing by for these free offers at 888-578-8791. And don't forget about hitting us on our website at www.cgi.org. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you to keep on that whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.